presentation of Bethel Family Church. We hope you enjoy listening and that it helps you to grow closer to Jesus.
Who's had a good week of work? Yeah? For me, I think every week at work is a good week. I don't ever want to stop working. I just want to perhaps be doing the things I want to do a bit more, you know. They say if you can find a job you can enjoy, you'll never work a day in your life, and that's very true. But, you know, we have bosses, don't we? We have situations at work and things, and, you know, have you ever noticed that when you're going to be having a great day, everything's going great, and then there's a little turn. You do something and something falls apart in your hands or something goes wrong, and you look up and turn around and the boss is standing there. They haven't been there all day. They haven't seen the great day you've been having, but the slightest little thing goes wrong and all of a sudden they're standing there. It's like they've got cameras watching and they're, all right, I'll go down there now, you know. But we're all faced with bosses, aren't we? And we have to do what they ask us to do. And it's not such a bad thing because at the end of the week they give us some money for doing those things. You know, we're paid to do what the boss wants to do. We don't do what the boss wants us to do. We can get sacked, exactly. And then we don't get any money. You know, so it's an agreement, isn't it? We do the things that he wants us to do, and he gives us some money for us to survive with. If we don't do the things that we're meant to do, we don't get paid, do we? And to expect to get paid without doing the things we should do, we shouldn't expect to get paid. Let's look at Luke 6. It says, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say?" To be a Lord is a recognition of authority, isn't it? When we call someone a Lord, you know, or a boss, they have authority. They have control, and they have power over other people. And the same with the Lord. This definition of the Lord is, you know, we're calling, it says here, "But when you call me Lord, Lord, and you do not do the things which I say." So the Lord has given us some things to do, but we're choosing perhaps not to do them. To be a Lord, there's a couple of things involved in being a Lord. One, you have authority, which means that person is allowed to tell us what to do, to give us instructions. They have authority. They have control. They have a plan. What they're doing is a part of a plan. So they're using their authority to tell us to do things to line up with the plan. They have power. In the world, they have power. They have the dollars. You do what I want done and I'll give you the dollars. So they create a power, which is not painting a wonderful spiritual picture, but it's still, as far as the Lord's authority, the Lord has power, he has authority, and he has control. To be a Lord signifies that you're a master, a chief, or a ruler. Now, if we're here this morning, there's a good chance that we've asked Jesus into our lives. When we did that, one of the most common things that we say is we confess Jesus as Lord and Saviour. Who remembers praying something like that? Yeah? Lord, come into my life. Be my Lord, be my Saviour. Take control of my life. If Jesus is our Lord and our ruler, there must be some things that he's asked us to do. Evidence of him being our ruler and him being our Lord is, are we actually doing the things that he's asked us to do? And I think sometimes we want the good things in life. You know, we want the salary, we want the payment, but we don't always want to do the work. And sometimes that can make things hard, because in a secular sense, in your job, your boss says, well, you know, yeah, I really want, you know, I want to give you the money because, you know, you're a great person and you've got family to support and all that sort of thing, but you're not doing the work. So how can I give you the money if you're not doing the work? And so I think the Lord is a wonderful Lord, okay? He's a Lord over us in love, okay? And we've given our hearts to him to serve him, right? We've said, you are Lord in our life. He has asked us to do things within his word. We look at the next part of that section in Luke. It says, whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. Okay, so it's a little story here. So the first guy, he's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundations on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. Okay, that's the first guy. And he built his foundations, nice and solid, engineered. We know, we've done soil tests, we know they're not going to move. They're rock solid. So when he builds the house and the storm comes, he's going to be fine. Second guy is this, but he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. And here's a nice little seaside, oops, house for you. house by the sea. That's a whole new twist, isn't it? But, you know, obviously, that person may have had some foundations, I don't know. But, you know, whatever happened, something went wrong. Something wasn't designed right. And it fell apart. Out of the two men in that story, which of them died? I don't think any of them did. No. I mean, the house fell over. If you're in the middle of a house and your house starts falling apart, you're going to run out. Okay? So no one died in the situation. But the thing is, what happened to the house? The house fell to pieces. So this scripture is not talking about salvation. It's talking about how we live affects the things around us. Okay? It's one thing to give our heart to the Lord, but that's the first step in our walk, isn't it? There's a whole book we have to read, want to read. You know, that goes through all the things that help us and benefit us. And what that book does is it teaches us how to build our foundations so that when we're in the storm, we're not knocked over, we're not washed into the sea, we're not washed into the river, okay? Now, our salvation is fully intact, but sometimes we can be living a life that's, you know, battered and torn by the storms of life. And our house is knocked over a little bit because we might not have built the foundations correctly or not followed the instructions that God gives us. I'm involved in the building industry, and you start looking at all the engineer specifications for houses and all the things that, you know, and basically it's guaranteed that this thing will not fail. If you follow these rules, it will not fail. And in the building industry, when there's a failure, they always go and examine and look at things and they, oh, yeah, there's not enough reinforcing in that. Oh, it doesn't look like there's enough cement powder in that sand and gravel mixture. People break the rules. And sometimes they get away with it and sometimes they don't, you know. So it's about us looking at what things God has called us to do, okay? And things that God asks us to do are not for our detriment. He only ever wants to build us up. He wants us to live a wonderful life. So in his word, he lays out scriptures. He lays out truths with which we should live by so that our houses don't get knocked over. Our salvation is not at stake, but it's about how we're living our life. Pardon me. You know, we can be saved, but our life can still be in tatters if we're not following the things that God asks us to do. He's got this wonderful set of, you know, blessings for us that are dependent on us following what he's asking us to do. Same way that, you know, building the house, we need to look at the specifications of what we need to be doing. And I don't want this to be about works. I don't want this to be about, oh, if I do A, B and C, then D is going to happen. No, it's not like that. But God gives us rules and examples in his word for us to live by. He gives us ways to live in prosperity. And whenever I say the word prosperity, it never has a dollar sign anywhere involved. Okay? I hate when they take scriptures like that and put dollar signs on it. Prosperity is about me living a happy life, living a fulfilled life, living a life where I'm a functioning part of the community, contributing to the body of the church. Romans 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. How we live day to day is worship unto God. How we live every day is worship unto God. We sing songs this morning, and that is worship to God. But how we live each day is worship to God. Our lives are worship. Other people see our lives and are affected by our lives. See us outside. Jesus gives us a set of rules to live by so that when people look at us, they see Jesus. We will be very often the only form of Jesus that some people will see. It's a task that Jesus gave to us. When he was leaving his disciples, he said, go into Jerusalem, tell everyone. Go into Samaria, go to the ends of the earth and tell people. It was one of the things he gave us to do, one of the jobs that he gave us to do. It talks in this scripture about presenting your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. It's obviously there must be some things that we need to do that are part of our lives that are our spiritual worship. I'm going to list a few of those things that come into that. Now, this is not a list of rules. Don't like lists of rules. I'm not going to stand up here and say you must do every one of these every day. What I'm saying is that these are some of the values that we take from the New Testament that Jesus wants us to have as part of our lives. And we all vary. You know, the first one, daily devotions, right? That can be different for a lot of people. Some people, that might mean that they're studying for 3 hours the Word of God. For some people, it might be grabbing a 5-minute scripture before they start work off her phone. It's about putting a little bit of time aside for God in reading and studying his word. Healthy living. Treat our body as a temple by eating well, exercising, getting enough rest. This shows for respect for our body that Jesus has given us. Acts of kindness. To be looking for opportunities to help others, whether through volunteering or supporting a friend, cooking a meal for a person who's not well, giving someone a lift somewhere, being kind to strangers. Integrity. Make choices that reflect our values and beliefs. People are watching us all the time. Saying, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, and we start doing things that we shouldn't do. People notice. They'll point them out quicker than you can believe. Gratitude. We should be cultivating a spirit of gratitude amongst ourselves. Are we truly thankful for the things we've got? Is any one of us doing without, really? Do we have any lack in this country? I know there are people that are doing it tough at times through choices, but very often they are through choices. We should be grateful for the society we live in. Community involvement. What better way to spread the word than to be involved in the community? We're doing something with the outside world. We can't expect a church to grow if we never talk to any strangers, if we never make any relationships with people outside of church. The New Testament church was all about gathering people together, going out and telling people, daily lives, in the marketplaces, just sharing with people. Sharing people God's love. Being real Christians. Mindfulness. Being aware of our thoughts and actions through the day. Ask ourselves, are they pleasing to God? And if not, are we making adjustments? Our mind can be a big pit of problems for us. Our mind can run off in all sorts of directions no matter where we are. We need to bring our minds under control. We need to be conscious of the things we're dwelling on and the things that we're putting into our mind. Forgiveness. Practice forgiving others as God forgives you. See, God forgave us in all of our sin. We need to, and no doubt someone told us about Jesus. Someone had compassion on us. Someone had a burning passion in themselves to tell you about Jesus. And so you now know about Jesus. And how it works is that we go and tell someone. We need to be in the community to be able to do that. The second section of that scripture in Romans is, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. That's the same translation as the previous verse, but I've got a different translation I want to read from, and it's this one here, which is out of the New Living Translation. It says, do not copy the behaviour and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. God wants us to change our behaviours. And the reason for that is for our benefit. It's all about our benefit. How should we respond to the incredible mercy of God that He's shown us? How do we respond to that? Things is He worthy of for what He's done for us? There are so many things that we should be doing, not out of law, but just out of gratitude and thankfulness. Know who we are in Christ? We really know who we are in Christ. God, the creator of this whole heaven and earth, made a way for us to be in relationship with Him. Made a way for us to be in relationship with Him. And that means that we are adopted into His family. We are children of God. Now, who are we in Christ? How are we living? Are we eating at the king's table? Are we in the banquet hall eating with the king inside the kingdom? Are we shoveling hay in the stables? Now, the thing is that the guy shoveling hay in the stables is still in the kingdom. He's still in the kingdom. But it's about what he's doing with his life. It's about his circumstances. Does he realise that he could be sitting at the king's table? See, sometimes we find ourselves in the stable because we think we're not worthy to eat at the king's table. But we are. We are worthy to sit at the king's table. Ephesians, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. We are his temple. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. The Holy Spirit goes with us everywhere we go. Love our children. God loves us. We love our children even when they do naughty things. And God still loves us. We need to let God change the way we think. We need to look at his word and see what it's saying to us. If you're struggling with understanding the word by yourself, get together with someone. Find someone and say, hey, can you help me understand this? We don't need to be islands. We're a family. We're here for others. For example, Elizabeth is doing this online reading. It's an opportunity for people to ask questions. To say, hey, I don't understand that. Can someone help me out? It's about sharing, living in community, helping each other. God talks about that in his word, about how, you know, those who are more learned than others should assist, help others understand, help others grow. It's not about us grabbing our own little bunch of wisdom and keeping it for ourselves. God gives us wisdom that we might share it with others, that others might benefit from it. These gifts that God gives to us are not ours. They're his gifts. They're his gifts. We don't own them. And we should be sharing them with other people. Gifts are for the church, the entire church. We need to be sharing this with people. Are you ready for a storm? Are you in the middle of a storm? Have you just come out of a storm? How did your house survive? Are there things that you think you might need to change? Or do things go great? See, it doesn't mean just because we went through a storm that something bad happened. We can go through a storm and come out the other side stronger. But if you think you're struggling and you feel like there's, like your house isn't standing strong, it's about getting into the Word. It's about looking into the Word and understanding who we are in Christ. Jesus gives us so much information. The apostles expand on that information. It's all there for us to take advantage of. We all ought to be enjoying sitting down at the King's table, taking in all of the goodness of God. It's not about fancy teaching. It's not about seven principles that will change your life. It's not about that stuff. That list I read before. It's not a, you know, you do these things and this will make your life fantastic. No. It won't hurt to do some of those things. It gives us instructions on how to build our house. And he's a gentleman. He doesn't force anything on anyone. As we say, okay, God, take me a bit deeper. Take me a bit deeper into this river. Let me trust you a little bit more. Go a bit deeper. Maybe just on tippy toe. Just try it. A bit deeper, and then you can't touch the bottom anymore, but God's keeping you afloat. Wants us to get to the point where we're not trusting in ourselves, but we're trusting in Him. See, faith only comes into being when the natural laws cut out. When the rules of this world no longer apply, that's when faith starts. It doesn't take faith for me to walk on this stage. It takes faith for me to do a backflip off of this stage. So faith is required where the natural laws of this world don't apply. For the invisible things. We are fighting in an invisible world. Fighting principalities and powers in this world. We have the victory over those through Jesus. Because living in his kingdom means that those powers have already been defeated. Just like encourage you to look at his word. That book is so important for us. If you can't understand it, find someone to talk with about it. Hey, you could even use Google. There's a lot of good information there. If you're struggling to find information, search. There's good books out there, and it's all for our benefit. I'll point out once again that none of this is about our salvation. Our salvation is already assured and guaranteed. Talking about how well our house stands up when we're in the storm.
Listening to today's message. For more information or to listen to other podcasts, head to our website at bethelcrc.org.au or check out Bethel Family Church on Facebook.